In the course of my so-called career as a poet, I've often found myself giving poetry readings in many different locations, apart from the obvious ones of libraries, colleges, and theatres. Although I do participate in them, I've always had mixed feelings about poetry readings, either by myself or others, usually preferring to hear the poems in my head. As Mary Heaney once famously remarked, there's no such thing as a poetry reading which is too short. As a young poet in the 1970s, I gave many readings as it seemed the thing to do. The end came when myself and my friend Dermot Bulger set off on a nationwide tour of art centres, accompanied by a punk band called News for the Deaf, who thankfully broke up after our first gig in Wexford. I'd had enough. After that, I managed to avoid readings for decades, till I was persuaded that in this day and age, it's the only way to get people to buy and maybe even read your slim volumes. So, reluctantly, I cleared my throat and started reading in public again. But perhaps because of my distaste for the straightforward poetry reading, I've always had a fondness for doing it in unorthodox situations, particularly because it brings you into contact with a different kind of audience. For a number of years, Poetry Ireland sponsored me to read poems in Dublin Airport on National Poetry Day. I would simply pop up at gates where passengers sat waiting to board and announce myself to the bemused travellers, then read one of my poems, usually related to travel or emigration. The response was surprisingly positive. At the gate waiting for a flight to Stockholm, a Swedish woman enthused, "That's what I love about Ireland. You'd never get something like this in Sweden." Another memorable reading was to celebrate Bastille Day in the garden of the French ambassador's elegant residence on Aylesbury Road. As glasses of champagne and whiskey sours circulated, I read a poem I'd written specially for the occasion. Afterwards, a portly gentleman in a blazer congratulated me and asked, "Did you write that yourself?" Another audience member told me that when the ambassador announced that I was about to read a poem, his wife had said, "Oh God, no." "But you know what," he continued, "when you were finished," she said, "that wasn't bad at all." I thought I'd seen and heard it all, but that was until I travelled last November to Prague to take part in a poetry festival. The organiser asked me if I'd be interested in going on what she called a peripheral walk, organised by Josef Strana, a poet known as the Flaneur of Prague. I said sure, but was unsure of what exactly I'd signed up to. And so, on a freezing night, I found myself with a group of poets from America, Iceland, Russia and Czechia, standing at a metro station in a peripheral district of Prague as the audience gradually swelled, emerging well wrapped up from the escalators. Then we set off walking, led by a local historian, following lines of desire across building sites, scrambling up embankments and traversing abandoned train stations. I soon found myself standing on a pile of building materials, reading a poem about my childhood on the Dublin periphery. We then walked through what they said was the longest underground pedestrian tunnel in Europe. I read a poem deep underground in the dazzling fluorescent light, my back to the white tiled wall, with our walking audience supplemented by some local youth and their pit bulls looking at me in respectful puzzlement. The walk was to end after a couple of hours with a poetry reading in a local tavern. But the place was jam-packed, as it was St. Martin's Day, a day when everyone in the Czech Republic goes to a restaurant to eat the traditional roast goose. Josef was upset. "They promised us a quiet room at the back," he said. "We'll have to cancel the reading." But my mind went back to a reading I'd done a few years ago in the famous White House pub in Limerick. I had read to a bunch of poetry enthusiasts at one end of a room, with, at the other end, a bar, where a mass of natives were roaring at a rugby match on the big screen TV, accompanied by the merry laughter of the cash register. "Don't worry," I told Josef. I drained my tankard of delicious black beer, stood up, introduced myself, and read a poem I'd written about Prague the year before. The Czechs are a polite, quiet people, and the noise level dropped as they listened with some curiosity, with even the harried waiters clutching bunches of foaming tankards in each fist, delicately swerving around me. There was a ripple of applause when I sat down again to a freshly delivered tankard, and I couldn't help thinking, this may well be my most successful poetry reading ever.